Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Lindsay W., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Houston, Texas. Today is Thursday, February 6th, 2025, and today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are on page 77, the fourth line from the top of the page, beginning with the sentence, "It is seldom wise to approach," through six sentences ending, "than in our talk of spiritual discoveries." And we'll be commenting on those six sentences. Today's readers are, and thank you for your service this month, for the 12 steps, Dara F., 12 Traditions, Patty F., and then our readers of the text are Susan G., Martha Z., and then Nancy R. will be our backup this morning. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Loretta M., and the second hour host is Pam S.R. The reference numbers for yesterday, Wednesday, February 5th, are for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 22,141, 22141. And then the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 22,142, 22142. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Dara F. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Dara.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you now.
Okay, hi. This is Dara F., as in Frank, from Virginia, and I'm going to read the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Dara F. And then I will now ask Patty S. to read the 12 traditions.
Hi, this is Patty F. I'm a compulsive overeater. 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in that group conscience. And leaders are trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, the carrier's message, the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Unless problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, television, and films, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions. Every reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you, Patty S. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, you'll press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. So this morning, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous on page 77, fourth line from the top of the page, beginning with the sentence, "It is seldom wise to approach," through six sentences ending, "than in our talk of spiritual discoveries." So I will now ask Susan G. to begin reading. Morning, Susan.
Morning, Lindsay. Susan G. Recovered compulsive overeater. Glad to be here. It is seldom wise to approach an individual who still smarts from our injustice to him and announce that we have gone religious. In the prized ring, this would be called leading with a chin. Why lay ourselves open to being branded fanatics or religious bores? We may kill a future opportunity to carry a beneficial message. But our man is sure to be impressed with a sincere desire to set right the wrong. He is going to be more interested in a demonstration of goodwill than in our talk of spiritual discoveries. Okay, well, there's a lot here, so I'm focusing on the last two sentences, I think, today. My work is to set right the wrong. So it's about my attitude and taking action. An attitude in approaching the person with a sincere and humble desire and to demonstrate my goodwill, not talk about me or about my feelings, about my motives, or suggest any outcomes, unless I deem that appropriate or necessary, I suppose. So in a couple of hours, I'm actually going to be driving to meet my high school history teacher to make a direct amends. Over 40 years ago, she had a class history project due for us, and I chose not to complete it. And I've seen my teacher over the years a few times, and she has reminded me every time that I haven't turned in my history project. And every time, it's been on my step four, ironically, on my resentments. And it has not been on my 8 and 9. So I've had relapses instead of recovery. And I dismissed it as unimportant to me and kind of why bother? It's so small now. It's so long ago. No further action needed kind of attitude. I didn't realize I was dismissing her. And when I got to step 8 and 9 over a year ago with my sponsor here, she urged me. She said, Susan, get that project done and get it done well. Turn it in while you still can. She's older now, this teacher. So she says it's important to her. Set it right with her, for her. Not talk, just turn it in. And so I've taken several months to start and complete this history project. And I've been trying to get a hold of her since last October to turn it in. And I got a hold of her last week. So persistence in doing this work has kept me connected to God, to my higher power. And my higher power has persistently kept me from returning to the food and to relapse and growing in spiritual fitness and actual usefulness. You know, I'm learning to value others. So today, when I go, I'm not acting for my good or even to feel relieved of this bondage of my selfishness, although that probably indeed might be a product, byproduct of this amends. No, today I'm acting specifically and with great intentionality to do what was asked and expected of me years ago. And this is for my teacher. So when I told her, when I got her on the phone and finally had my project ready and told her I wanted to come and turn it in, she just laughed, belly laughed, and said, well, it's an important lesson to never give up on a student. And it's an important lesson to me today. I know there's other things in this paragraph I look forward to hearing you share. But my takeaway today is that it's about my attitude and taking action with sincerity and humility to say, I see you, and you are important to me. And I was wrong. So I look forward to sharing with you again in a few days how it turns out maybe. So I think I'm going to pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Susan G. in Tennessee, for getting us started. So although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. And if you would like to share, please just give me your first name and the first initial of your last name. So who would like to share on these six sentences this morning?
Melissa C.
Kelly S. Kelly S.
Reva P.
Oh. Lindsay, did you hear Kelly?
I did. I heard Melissa, Kelly, and Reva.
Abby,
would like to share. Abby?
Lynn,
okay.
Lynn S.
Gotcha, Lynn. Take a couple more for this first lineup. Anybody else want to share? All right. Well, we'll start here. So we've got Melissa C, Kelly S, Reva P, Abby D, and Lynn S. So, Melissa C., you're up.
Hey, good morning, Lindsay. Thanks so much for your service this morning. Really good to hear you leading the meeting. I'm Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York. And, you know, I always try to think about the difference between talking about God and demonstrating a relationship with God. Because, you know, the people in my life, the people who I've done harm with or hurt, whatever it is, whether it's a harm or a hurt, I want a better relationship with them. I want to make peace. I have this thing inside my heart. You know, it's a relationship. It's God entered my heart. And when God entered my heart, he kind of lit up my conscience. He's made me acutely aware of the things that I could improve on, the things that could be better. And so I want to do that, and I don't want to talk incessantly. I mean, it's easier to talk incessantly about it, but it's harder to put it into action. But the truth is my words mean nothing, you know. And for me, like, I think about some of the ways, like, when I – with my family in particular, you know, I've had some ways that I've shown up. I've been manipulative. I've tried to dominate. You know, with my own children, I have when they were little, you know, like a harm that I did to them was I constantly put them in situations to make me feel good. You know, I put on big shows, I put on big things, and neither of my kids like big events. It's not their thing. That's my thing. But I constantly kind of threw them in those things because I needed to prove that I was a good mom. You know, like my life was unraveling, but I'll make the best damn birthday party ever. Or I will, like, you know, just invite the whole world in. And my kids didn't like that. And so, you know, they don't want to hear me talk about my relationship with God. And yes, I have actually verbally said to them, you know, I regret doing that to you. But now I have to put that into action. And, you know, for me, what does that look like? It looked like a couple years ago, my daughter and her wife got married, and I just got to show up at the wedding. I always say, like, poor me, I didn't get to walk my daughter down the aisle, and I didn't get to plan a big wedding. But that's sort of like the demonstration of my spirit. Believe it or not, that's a demonstration of these principles. And another area is this relationship that I have with my siblings where, you know, years ago when my dad was dying, I was this big, melodramatic, self-pitying mess, and I was no use to anybody. And so how do I show up today? I don't talk incessantly about my relationship with God, with my siblings, but I do for our mother without running a list of what they're not doing. And I just do it because God has entered my heart and changed me. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Melissa C. in New York. And next up is Kelly S. Good morning, Kelly.
Hey, Lindsay. Good morning. Hey, guys. It's Kelly S., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Thanks, Susan, for getting us started. Love this paragraph, and I wanted to share too on the, you know, be more interested in demonstration than of our talk. And, you know, to be honest, it kind of hits a spot with me in the fact that, you know, I grew up in an abusive home, alcoholic home, and my dad would always make amends to me. He'd always be like, I'm sorry, I did whatever. And even as a small child, I remember thinking, well, he's really sorry. Why does he keep doing it? You know? And that was a pattern in my life growing up, is noticing that people would say they were sorry, but not changing. And, you know, these lines here remind me, and I talk about it a lot, back in page 19, and, you know, there's a solution way in the beginning of the book. It says, we feel elimination of our drinking or our eating is but a beginning. A much more important demonstration of our principles lies before us in our homes, occupation, and affairs. And I'm like, okay, so early on you hear this, but you're like, what the heck? I can barely stop eating. Now you're telling me you have to be nice? Well, sometimes that's even harder, right, than being abstinent, like showing up different. How the heck, right? And so here we are now. We're into action. We're having an opportunity to learn how we're going to start living different, right? We're going to learn how to walk this walk and quit talking it, saying I'm going to be different, but not showing up. And the only way I can do that is through powers, through these steps, accessing God. You know, I always thought I was working these steps to get abstinent and get my eating under control. Then I was working these steps so I could be recovered. I just want to be recovered. Now I realize I'm working these steps to get a relationship with God so I can show up different. And I know it was a sentence from yesterday, but I have to talk about is that, you know, our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service. That's a new word in the book, guys. I just read that book this last few years because I always thought I'm a service-oriented person, but I do service that is convenient, that makes me feel good, right? You know, when it's, but now I'm having to learn to fit myself. What does that mean? What does that person need from me? What did my dad need from me as he was dying with dementia? What does my mom need from me to help her? You know, and now I'm telling you what other people need is not what I want to do, right? But this program and God has shown me how to show up for people, get out of my selfishness, even my selfish, self-centered acts of service, right? So I have to show up and say, what do these people need? And demonstrate this. You know, quit talking this talk. Show up different. And I know right now if you're in the food or you're fairly in the steps, you're like, really, right? I'm like you guys, I'm telling you, love and tolerance does not come easy for me. That has not been my code in my life. I don't want it to be my code. You know, being nice is not one of those things that come easy for me. But guess what? By putting this food down, working the steps, accessing God's, this relationship with God, leaning into God, talking to you guys, doing this work daily, every day, I'm learning to show up different. My heart is being changed. I'm actually being nice. Thanks, Lindsay. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Kelly S. in Oklahoma. And then next up is Reva P., followed by Abby. Good morning, Reva.
Good morning, Lindsay. This is Reva P. In Toronto and currently in Florida. Grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Yeah, I love the shares. And for me too, you know, a sincere desire to set right the wrong. So if I've really been entirely ready to have God remove the defects in step 6, and then I really am humbly asking him to remove them. You know, there was a time where, yes, there was a place where I cleaned up the wreckage in the past, but I started noticing after I had done my initial direct amends that I was doing the same thing. I said I wanted to do better, but I wasn't demonstrating goodwill more than talking about it. And so I had to go back and look at, you know, is there some still payoff that I'm getting from indulging in these defects? Was I really entirely ready? Am I really entirely ready? And yeah, nobody wants to hear about how spiritual I am. And I find it almost funny how I want almost credit for being considerate, kind, and tolerant. Like, this is what how we're supposed to treat people. So nobody wants to hear about my spiritual stuff. They want to see it in my actions. And, you know, today we're planning to get together with my mother-in-law and some family. And showing up when I don't feel like showing up, but showing up because it's important to my husband, because it's important to the family, and like people have shared, usually doing the thing I don't want to do, but doing the right thing, that is more important than talking about doing the right thing. So, yeah, I love the reminder. It's about doing better, not talking about doing better. And I don't do this myself. That's why I need power. And then God actually does change my heart, and I want to be part of the family, and I want to participate, and I want to show up for others. But just a great reminder that step 8 and 9 is starting to look at others and how I harm others. So it's not about more of me. It's more about doing what's important to others. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Reva P. in Toronto. And then next up, Abby D. Morning, Abby.
Good morning, everyone. This is Abby D. I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Michigan. Grateful to be here this morning. And I'm thinking of like when I first got abstinent. This was before I had 2 years and then I like relapsed and then I've had time since then. But I would like post on social media that like I'm so healthy now and look at this. You know, look at all this healthy food I'm eating and look at me at the gym and look at, like, I just would post all this stuff about, and, like, I would even, you know, I was, like, meal prepping and stuff, so I would post, like, Miss Meal Prep, you know, like, I would post all this stuff. And, like, that's not a demonstration of spiritual, that's not a demonstration of a spiritual life in my home's occupations and affairs. Like, that's not what they're talking about. Like, I don't need to go out there and, like, shout from the rooftops what I'm doing. Plus, I'm not doing this as a diet or, like, a lifestyle, like, healthy lifestyle change, which it is, but I'm not doing that for that. I'm doing that because, like, I'm doing this because I needed to, and I have this very serious condition of the mind and body that I need God. And, you know, the demonstration of God in my life can be subtle through my actions and how I treat people and the way I show up honestly to work and with friends and family. And, you know, this, like, God is the hero of my story. And, you know, even in the traditions, it talks about, like, we're anonymous at the level of press, radio, and films, because like we're not the ones doing it. Like there's no individual achievement here. Like this is us. Like we've been healed by God and through the 12 steps. And so this demonstration of like spiritual principles in my life come through with the way I'm behaving in the world and not what I'm, you know, trying to force people to believe. So anyways, that's all I have, and I hope everyone has a good day, and I pass.
Thank you, Abby D. in Michigan. And then we have Lynn S., and then we'll take another lineup of people to share. So good morning, Lynn.
Good morning, Lindsay. Good morning, Vision. Lynn S., recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. What a paragraph. What a paragraph. And, you know, these lines, a sincere desire to set right the wrong. I never had a sincere thought in my head, never mind a sincere desire to set right the wrong. What I wanted to do was I wanted to apologize profusely all over the place so I felt better. So perhaps there was a chance that you would now like me and everything would be all right and I could breathe again until the next time that I did the exact same thing with the exact same tone to either the exact same person or whoever else might be in my path. And I really did feel bad when it happened, but the bad I felt was fear. The bad I felt was the how I was going to have to pay for the consequences of my actions by not being liked or not being included or whatever I thought was going on. And I'm one of those people, I can't do act as if. I just can't, because my whole life I acted as if I thought this is the way you wanted me to act and stuff like that. I can't do it. But by living the life that's outlined in these steps, by living by God's spiritual principles, what that does is it makes me want to have a sincere desire to fit myself to be of maximum service to God and the people around us. And when I have that desire, when I want to do that, when I see that as my real purpose in life, imagine to go from somebody who felt so useless and uninvolved with life and yearning to be involved so much, and now to have a purpose in life, and it's to fit myself to be of maximum service to God and the people around us. And that gave me a sincere desire to set right the wrong, a sincere desire. And when I had that, and by doing living the spiritual principles of the steps, that allows me to be in a position where God can transform me. And when God transforms me, I do a demonstration of goodwill. Before I yakked about my relationship with God and how we were tight and good and levitated and isn't this wonderful and blah and blah and blah. And hopefully the talk has lessened, but there's more of a demonstration of goodwill towards others. It's just an amazing life. I am so thankful. Okay, so I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn S. in Toronto, Canada. And then before we take our next lineup, a quick announcement. So exciting news, a Vision for You convention is back in 2025. So it is the Power of the Big Book, and it will be November 7th through 9th of 2025. The Marriott Newark International Airport Hotel in Newark, New Jersey. So it will be a weekend of inspiration, education, motivation, and fellowship. So check the website for more information, registration, hotel, etc. at www.avision4u.info. Again, www.avision4u.info. And yeah, it's going to be fantastic. Really exciting that it's back. Okay, so let me remind everyone where we are in the book, and then I'll take another lineup of names. So we are in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, page 77, the fourth line from the top of the page, beginning with the sentence, "It is seldom wise to approach," through six sentences ending, "than in our talk of spiritual discoveries." So who else would like to share this morning?
Sandy.
Nora?
Oh, no, I didn't get those names. I know people said it, but I wasn't able to hear it. Can you try again?
Claire E. from the UK.
Claire, gotcha.
Hey, Nora, who else? New York.
Michelle M.
Someone from New York, but I couldn't catch your name.
Nora.
Nora. Gotcha, Nora. Hey. Who else?
Did you get Sandy S.
from the UK?
I got Claire from the UK. Was there someone else from the UK? Okay. Somebody else I didn't hear. Go ahead.
Sandy S.
Sandy, I gotcha. I've got Claire E., Michelle M., Nora, and Sandy S. Anybody else want to get in on this lineup? We have plenty of time. All right. Well, we'll start here. So Claire E. from the UK, please share with us.
Thank you so much, Lindsay. My name's Claire E. I'm a compulsive eater bulimic from Cornwall in the UK. And I love this paragraph. So I'm going to, I've been around fellowships, OA, for a long time, over 30 years. And during that time, I have gone through the steps several times with various degrees of thoroughness and success. But, the people I've made amends to, and I repeat, a bit amends to, they've sort of heard it all before. A lot of the time, I think it says in the Dr. Alcoholic Addict story, the world judges me by my sort of behavior. I judge myself by my intentions. And, my intentions are good, but sometimes my behavior hasn't followed through. And so what I really love about this this paragraph is this is all about demonstration, and I was just looking that up. I can't remember it word for word because I've got my laptop just by me. But, demonstration is actually showing by action. It's not talking about it, it's doing it. And the other sentence I really picked up on here is, we may kill a future opportunity to carry a beneficial message. If I go in there all talk, and then my behavior says something very different. I'm not a great demonstration for this program. And, I think I've read somewhere, I can't remember where, we don't just carry the message, we are the message. So if I'm going to identify myself as a recovering member of a 12-step fellowship, I need to make sure my behavior befits that. Otherwise, what I do is I just carry a message that, well, so what? So you might not be eating, but you're still, doing all the same stuff, saying all the same stories. So the demonstration of goodwill is where it's all at for me. And, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's important what I say to people in my amends, for sure. But actually, the much, much more important thing is, what am I doing? Where are my feet facing? What am I like to live with? What am I like to work with? What am I like as a mum? What am I like as a colleague, as a fellow? What is my behaviour saying about what I'm doing? And that's much more challenging, and that's much more ongoing. that's where, it's like the step seven, the pedal hits the metal, it's like the separating the men from the boys. Am I prepared to carry this through day after day in my life as a demonstration of goodwill? The saying sorry amends were easy ones in many ways, intimidating at the time, but easy. But the much more important, as I said, and ongoing amends are the ones that challenge me far more to actually change my behaviour. And I will pass with that. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Claire E. in the UK. And then next up is Michelle M. And please let us know where you are calling from, Michelle.
Good morning. This is Michelle M., recovered compulsive eater in Oklahoma. And I felt compelled to share this morning. Yesterday, I read a few times, acceptance is the answer. And it just left out, just like the previous speaker said, that people were judging me by my intentions, and I was judging myself by my intentions, and people were judging me by my actions. And there was no congruence there, you know? And so where my intentions were spurring my behavior, I was never getting what I wanted. And because people weren't doing it right. And to be in this place of being maximum service to God and fellows, I was in maximum service to Michelle. And I didn't know how deeply manipulative and controlling I was. And it took working all the steps to get to this place where I was ready to change my behavior. And, and acting what I call the nudge, you know, following the nudge. And it's always contrary to the story that I tell myself. And what really sets me up to continue that pattern is when I'm emotionally invested in the outcome. And that's control right there. And I am learning to not be emotionally invested in the outcome, because it's my outcome, not God's outcome. And if I don't get my outcome, then I'm pissed. And then I try to change somebody. And I'm going through a whole house remodel right now. And I will tell you, it is character defect Lollapalooza every day. You know, miracle grow for wanting things done my way. And man, I have had to step back, keep my mouth shut, and focus on being of service rather than trying to control everything around me, control those outcomes, because it sets me up on that cycle, you know? And then I'm the one that has, you know, if I react to that stuff and I'm not being of service to other people, I'm wresting control, trying to get what I want. It doesn't end well, and I'm the one that wears the shrapnel from the blowback of my behavior. And thank God I don't want to do that today. And I've got to stay plugged in every day, get out of my own way, and it takes practice. You know, I don't leap out of bed. Yay, I'm going to be a service to the world. It takes practice to do those daily things that I know to do. And listen to all of you share your experience, strength, and hope, because the more I stick around, the more I realize I don't know. So I'm really thankful for all the shares today, and thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Michelle M. in Oklahoma. And then next up is Nora, followed by Sandy S. So Nora, if you will please give us the first initial of your last name, and please share with us.
Hi. I'm Nora D. from New York. the reading branded fanatics or religious bores. I think for me, it's like, you know, am I in my head? I remember when I made my amends to my sister when I first came into the program, and she, because I couldn't get abstinent, and so I became willing, and I really didn't know what to expect, to be honest. I didn't even really know the harms I'd done. I knew that I'd avoided them. And I had gossiped about them and character assassinated them. But I didn't trust them. This was the core, you know, the fear, because that's the way I am. I'm built in fear and resentment. Anyway, so I went home. I became willing because I was told, are you willing to go to any length to get abstinent? I was like, okay. And I'm grateful because when I made the amends, I didn't know what to expect, but I was told to bring God with me because I was scared, you know, to not try and control it. And my sister said, you know, you're just always in your head. Like, and I don't think that's really changed, if I'm honest. But it was funny just to be able to listen and, like, hear her point of view. And my other sister was like, started bawling and crying. She was like, we thought you were dead. Sometimes it's just about giving people the space to be honest and to not
be ready to retaliate or have a script or try and control. And that's the huge part of my disease, is I'm always feeling less than or insecure. It's all about me. So I'm always trying to control people. And so people are kind of like, I think the challenge for me is like, they're like, I wish you were just here with me. Like, I wish you were just present, you know, and not be so like about yourself. Yeah, and I'm a work in progress right now. I said on Monday, I'm Monday free today, on the Thursday, day four. And I was abstinent for 7.5 years back to back, and I picked up because I was doing all the work, but I was really trapped in self, you know, even though I was doing a lot of service. I was, and so I don't really know right now. Like, I'm doing a lot of like two-way prayer and going, God, direct me, and stop trying to get an A grade in recovery. Like, but it's that, you know, the four absolutes. Am I being honest? And I have to go to God with that and go, God, give me direction here, you know? Like, how can I mature in this situation because I know it's about me. I want it my way, like King Baby, you know?
All right, that's time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nora D. in New York. And then Sandy S., you are up next. And let us know where you're calling from.
Sandy S. from Asheville, North Carolina, which is definitely God's gift to me right at this moment. I'm walking in the mountains where I live, and I think the deepest amends and the most effective amends was with my mother. You know, I don't know how my mother listened to me for 70 years telling her how I hated myself, how I wish I had never been born. And when I asked her, how did you listen to me all those years? She said, I thought it would help you. I was so touched. And my mother said to me, I did some things that were so harmful because I gave in to my principles. And it's something that's really hard to forgive myself for. I lied in court against my mother. My father pushed me to do it. But it's so hard for me to forgive myself for not resisting him. I was young. I was eating like crazy. But my mother said to me, I forgive you everything, which included that, but I can't forgive me. But I think to me, the biggest amends, I hate to say it because it sounds self-centered, is to myself. I really have a very high standard of behavior, of how I should behave, how I should think, what I should say. And I really have to surrender those standards, because when I don't live up to them, I really punish myself. It's insane. I mean, it's back to step two. A power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Sandy S. in North Carolina. All right, time to take another lineup of names. We still have plenty of time for shares. So who else would like to share this morning?
Ian F.
This is Larry. It's Larry K.
Ian, Larry, gotcha. Who else?
Mary Lee R. in Eugene, Oregon. And could you please tell exactly where we are reading from?
Yes, happy to do that. Anybody else want to share? And then I'll review where we are.
Deanne F. is New York.
Oh, hello, Deanne F. Okay, great. All right, so here's where we are. Big book, page 77, fourth line from the top, beginning with the sentence, it is seldom wise to approach through six sentences ending than in our talk of spiritual discoveries. So I've got Ian F., Larry K., Marilee R., and Deanne F. So Ian, please share with us.
Hi, I'm Ian F., compulsive overeater in Indiana. Very grateful to be here and hearing you all this morning. I love this particular section because it's, I think to most people it would be a, yeah, duh, and for us it's actually very difficult, at least for me it's very difficult because, you know, we talk about working this program like our hair is on fire, and, you know, when I came in and I heard that and I took it to heart, and I was like a preacher about it, you know, and I wanted everyone to know. And something I've found is that oftentimes my intentions are that I want to, you know, I want to do right by the message, but no one wants to hear. I'm doing this to be more God-centered, you know, especially if it's someone that we've harmed. I ended up getting in contact with someone in high school that I was just a really inattentive friend. I mean, I was never the first one to reach out. I didn't, you know, always go to their things. And I essentially sent them a text saying, I regret taking you for granted. And her response was, last time you texted me that, you stopped talking to me. You know, and what matters is not that we look good, it's that we amend, it's that we fix the behavior. And so that's why it's leading with the chin. It's like, truly, it's not about how I look. You know, it's about what I do. Yeah, that's all I got. Love y'all. Pass.
Thank you, Ian F. in Indiana. And next up is Larry K. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning. Good morning, Larry K. Recovered from Chicago. I'll just make it quick. It says it is seldom wise to approach an individual to make amends for harm by announcing we've gone religious. Why lay ourselves to be branded as fanatics or religious bores? You know, there's a couple of analogies for me that come to mind that help me to understand this passage more clearly. First one involves changing lenses. You know, imagine if someone decided to wear glasses for the first time. But instead of simply sharing their new perspective, now they go about, they insist that everyone else wear the same glasses. And so I proceed to start passing out these glasses. I become the arrogant, you know, eyewear expert. You know, maybe, just maybe, it might be more effective to share the view rather than force others to adjust their vision when I'm making these amends. And the other analogy, you know, like planting a garden. You know, imagine someone tending to a lush garden, right? I'm not much of a gardener, but I know some that are. And instead of knocking on doors to, you know, among your neighbors to insist others plant the same flowers, maybe it's more inviting to share seeds. Let them choose how to cultivate their own space. See, we don't convey arrogance through feigned expertise, even though we're given some relief in working this program. You know, rather, what we do here is with humility, we clean up our past. We demonstrate God's grace and mercy, not my own. There's no Larry's grace and mercy, right? Everything is a demonstration of God's power, God's love, God's way of life. So I'm not going to brand myself a fanatic. My goodness sakes, we got here on a losing streak. Now I'm going to come in with a know-it-all, with know-it-allism and big-shotism and show other people in the midst of cleaning up my side of the street what they should do and you know, and claim my religion and claim my theology and claim my expertise and claim all I know. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. It's all in the demonstration. And then God comes to us, changes our heart, changes our mind. With that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Larry K. in Illinois. And then next up, Marilee R. in Oregon. Good morning, Marilee.
Oh, good morning. This is Marilee R. in Eugene, Oregon, and grateful one day at a time for God's grace and mercy. And I have my original big book. I came in on the third edition, and I have so much writing on this page I can hardly see the words, but mostly I've written, you know, that God has all power and I can't use God up, and I can make amends to, you know, to everyone. And like what Larry was saying, it you know, actions speak much louder than words. And if I'm full of fear, I can't really be there for another person. And I just love that last line, what we read yesterday, was our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. And I know that resentments block me from my higher power or my divine director or whatever anyone chooses to call something higher than them. And I just, I can get into that prize ring just so easily. And, you know, would I rather be happy or would I rather be right? And you know, I wanted to be both. And when I can just open myself up and still be quiet and still hear the messages, you know, I can be of greater service to my divine director. And I woke up, I thought it was 449, which in the third edition is the thing on acceptance. And I also know that when we finish this, that we'll be referencing back to page 570. I don't know what it is in the fourth edition, but on, you know, a spiritual experience. So it's all God. Thank you. Pass.
Thank you, Mary Lee R. in Oregon, and Deanne F. in New York. You'll take us out this morning. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Lindsay. This is Deanne F., gratefully recovered for this day. And I just was really led to share on this paragraph because it's so full of just amazing miracles. So the first miracle is that I don't have to figure out what my purpose is, that I have instructions that actually say, not, the words are our real purpose, not our purpose, like the word real is in there. And that tells me that it's not going to be my perceived purpose, that this is a real, actual purpose, is to fit myself to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. So it also doesn't just say God, and it doesn't say which people. It just says the ones that are about us, and that can mean close to me, you know, people who live in my area, people who, like, you know, the ones that I am, that are in my consciousness. And that maximum means like with all of my efforts, not like sort of try it. And I just wanted to share a really important example for me of what it says here, which is a demonstration of goodwill, not a talking about it. And with my dad, who passed in 2021, when I made an amends to him, my amends to him was that I would actually call him the same time every Tuesday night. Like that was our call time. And I was able to do that with him for many years. And so that when it came time that he was going through his journey when he was terminally ill, that I was able to carry a beneficial message to him. I hadn't talked to him about God in all of that time, like incessantly. I just had called him every week, like I said I was going to do. That was my demonstration. And so when the time came, I was able to actually be beneficial with a spiritual message for him before he passed.
to carry this message. So we are actually sort of like putting our not money in the bank, but like this is an investment in being able to also by our good demonstration be ready to carry a message of our spiritual experience when that time arises. So I thank you for letting me share. Have a beautiful day.
Thank you, Deanne F. in New York. And thank you to everyone who shared this morning, and thank you to all who gave service. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing this morning. So the share ID for today's meeting, Thursday, February 6th, is 22,144,22144. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Martha Z. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Lindsay. Good morning, my friends in recovery. This is Martha Z. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater by the grace of God from outside of Philadelphia. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.